Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I want to talk to you about the deal of a lifetime. Let's worship the Lord before we're seated. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done, but I'm more excited about what you're going to do for the todays and tomorrows that you have for your church and what you have for someone today. Amen. Let's just applaud the Lord or some expression of thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Well, being on the receiving end of marketing has become an accepted way of life. Inboxes, mailboxes, social media feeds are all inundated with floods of marketing messages offering us incredible deals. Maybe the deal of a lifetime. Maybe you've received some type of advertisement that told you it's your last chance to save like this. Offer ends tonight. Flash sale, ending soon. They want you to know, don't miss out, or you're going to feel really bad tomorrow when you missed out on this opportunity today. It's once in a lifetime. And then this offer is available for a limited time only. And then, I know you haven't acted yet, but there's only a few left in stock. They're selling out fast. This is a limited edition. Once they're gone, they're gone. We've almost sold out, and you might miss out. You can save 20% if you order today. These items won't last long at this price. Smart marketers want you to feel that if you miss this deal, you're going to live the rest of your life in regret. It's going to keep you up at night. You're going to think about that whatchamacallit that you didn't buy. And you're never going to be the same again. It's called the fear of missing out. FOMO, FOMO. Marketers know that if they can appeal to you psychologically and emotionally to make you feel the sense of urgency, that they can get you to buy now instead of waiting for later. It works because we feel the sense that life is fleeting, time is passing by, there's a limited supply of everything that there is. We're being marketed all the time. I was wondering, how many ads do we see a day? Now, there's some stats that say between 4 and 10,000. That person must just keep their, audio on all night long. Maybe more realistically, 100, you can go do your own research. Not now. I just asked you to not do that, please. Maybe 100. I didn't know this, but many brands have their own audio logos and tunes that signal their presence. And it only takes a human brain between 100 and 300 milliseconds to recognize a familiar sound. So if they can just jingle something in your ear, you immediately identify that with what you've heard before. 70% of marketing, all marketing, now takes place on digital platforms. An average mobile user spends about 80% of their screen time viewing ads, they say. Facebook processes about 5 million new ads every day. And a staggering 50,000 years of YouTube product review videos have been viewed through up to recently. In other words, people are believing what they're seeing and what they're hearing, and they want to get educated about that product. Spending on social media advertising was projected to reach $219 billion in 2024. That was their halftime report or whatever. And so just imagine those of us who have lived a few decades, the revolution of the digital age. No wonder we get worn out. We get callous to all of the ads. It's called ad fatigue. You've seen that same dumb ad over and over, and you're tired of hearing that and seeing that. And while marketing platforms have certainly changed, someone has been selling something for all of human history. Look at this piece of fruit. It's beautiful, pleasant to the eyes. It tastes so good. And if you'll eat this, you'll be wise. It's going to make you more healthy. It's really good for you, Eve. Why not take a bite and share it with your husband? She did. Here we are. Jacob says to his brother, sell me your birthright. What are you going to give me for it? How about a bowl of warm lentil soup? Sounds like the deal of a lifetime. Sold it for a bowl of beans. Joseph was sold as a slave into Egypt. In the New Testament church, members of the church sold possessions and property and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Sounds like a great idea to imagine in 2025. I was thinking about merchandising in the Bible, and I went down that rabbit hole for a while in studying and searching scriptures, but too much for today, but all the way even to the book of Revelation, when we're coming down to the end, Revelation 18, the Bible speaks of buying and selling gold and silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet cloth, things made of fragrant wood, ivory goods, objects made of expensive wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, wagons, and slaves. All of that is mentioned all the way toward the end of time because we live in a society where things are always being bought and sold and we're being marketed to buy them. So the imagery of someone buying or especially of someone selling is not foreign in the Bible. And it's amazing that in Isaiah 55, the Lord uses the imagery of a street corner salesman to talk about salvation. He must be strategically positioned in the marketplace. He wants to be successful. He may be a street vendor hawking his wares. I think he's found a busy intersection where people are passing by on the cobblestone streets of that ancient city 700 years before the times of Christ. Scores of pedestrians passing by, and he knows that they're thirsty and hungry. And he's got for them what he knows is the deal of a lifetime. So the very first thing he's got to do is get your attention. So the King James and the New King James says he stands there and he hollers, ho! Now that's only used in the Bible a few times, but we would say, hey, hey, listen up, look over here. He wants to get your attention. And doesn't preaching do that? Today, I'm trying to stop you in your path of life to get your attention to tell you that I have something to tell you about that you need, that's the deal of a lifetime. You're distracted. You're on your way. You're going somewhere. But today, at this intersection of your life, I want to pause you. I'd like for you to listen up. Hey, would you listen? I've got something to tell you. And then he says, phrase by phrase of this verse, hey, everyone who is thirsty. And that's everybody. The streets are dry and dusty. The weather's hot. The sun is scorching down on people passing by. And here's a guy standing on the street corner. Hey, listen up. Look here. Are you thirsty? He's appealing to a natural human need. And then he says, come to the waters. I've got water for you. Everybody needs that. Essential to human life. Every functioning organism on earth. Most of your body is water. You can't live long without it. It's a universal need. No water, no health, dehydration, organ failure, ultimately death. I've got something you've got to have. And if you don't have it, you're going to die. Hey, look over here, thirsty. I've got some water for you. And so, if you're the customer, the consumer, your next logical question is what? How much? How much is this water you've got for sale? But look at Isaiah 55 and 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy. Now that sounds like a contradiction. Buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now I'm just going to tell you that that's the deal of a lifetime. You can't afford it. In fact, in reality, you couldn't buy it no matter how much money you had. But I've got good news for you. If you're thirsty, come get some water. It's free to all. I just want you to come. All you've got to do is respond to the invitation. Hey, listen up. Thirsty, I've got living water for you. This is not a false advertisement. This is not the manipulation of your emotions. This is the cry of the gospel. This is the deal of a lifetime. But here's the catch. The only way it's free is because someone has already bought it for you. The only reason salvation is free is because Jesus paid it all, paid the price in full, with his own body on the cross. So he stands and says, hey, you're thirsty, come drink. You don't have enough money, no problem. All you've got to do is come. This is free for all. The deal of a lifetime. Hey, listen up. If I got a deal for you, it's really more than a deal of a lifetime. It's a deal that will last for eternity. It's a deal that is a game changer for everything in your life. So today, I'm asking you, are you thirsty? Are you tired of living a spiritually dehydrated life? Why don't you come to the waters of salvation? It's the only thing that will quench your thirst. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I know you filled it up with a lot of other things. You filled your life, but you still feel that dehydration because there's only one thing that can satiate your thirst, and it is the living water of salvation that is provided for by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's why every week at Atlanta West Pentecostal Church, we say, come to the altar. Why don't you turn from your sins? Hey, behind the platform, there's a baptistry full of clean, warm water. We'll baptize you today in Jesus' name. Hey, before you can listen up, are you thirsty? Before you go home today, you can be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can find new life. It's a deal of a lifetime. Oh, yeah, it is. What a deal. Now, in marketing and consumerism, you trade something you have for something you want. Back in the day, they might have bartered goods, trading one good for another. You have something I need, I have something you need, so we're going to barter like that. Today, we exchange some form of money, of currency, for something we want. In the kingdom of God, that medium of exchange is faith. All you've got to have is faith. And if you have faith, you can receive from God what He has for you. You can trade your need with faith for something you need much, much more than what you already have, what you can't have, and you can only get from God. A trade goes something like this. I'll give you my sin, God, and you give me salvation. That sounds like the deal of a lifetime. I'll trade all of my despair for hope of eternal life. I'll trade all the internal turmoil I'm dealing with for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Hey, I've been addicted, can't quit, try to stop. Maybe that's what you say, but why don't you trade your addictions for deliverance that comes through Jesus Christ? He can shatter the yoke of addictions in your life, that no more will you be bound by that. All of the self-help that the world can offer is good, but that's all they have. They would tell you that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, but the gospel would say, such were some of you. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You're delivered. You're set free. You're no more bound by that. The psychological addiction, the spiritual hold, the physical addiction is broken by the power of Jesus Christ. It no longer has a hold on you. It's a deal of a lifetime. Trade your bondage for freedom. Escape eternal torment for eternal life. The guilt that keeps you up at night for a clear conscience before God and men. As my good friend, Brother J.T. Pugh, told me one time, I don't hate nobody. Clear conscience. Trade weariness. Weariness. You know, weariness of soul, of mind, of body, for rest for your soul. Lots of scriptures behind every line I'm saying. Trade your heavy burdens of sin for relief. All your care, you can cast it on Him. For He cares for you. What a deal. Trade all the shame you've been carrying for the approval of God, that He can look at you and say, this is my son. This is my daughter with whom I am well pleased. Amen. No more shame. No more feeling that you're not loved, but the love of God that is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Trade all the ashes of the past for beauty. Trade the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. I'm not making this up. Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Psalm 30 and 11, thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. What a trade, what a deal of a lifetime. I don't know what you're carrying in your life, but today have I got a deal for you. God can take off the heavy garment of grief and sin and shame, and he will give you gladness and joy. Hallelujah. If you found that in your life, why don't you take a moment to thank the Lord? Isaiah again, chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Have I got a deal for you? There's never been anything like this in the history of humankind, that God will turn your sin into salvation. This is what the gospel will do for you. Ho! Oh, listen up. Look over here. You're thirsty. How about some living water? The promise that Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Christ echoed down through those ages till Jesus came. Hey there. Thirsty? Come to the waters. No money? No problem. Come by. Guess what? The water is free. There's an immoral Samaritan woman standing at a well talking to Jesus. Remember, she's been married 5 times. She's living with the man she's not married to. She's struggling with her sin, but she's trying to cover it up. John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water, Jacob's well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Not on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How is that possible? Jesus said, the water that I will give him shall be in him. Not just around him, not just at Atlanta West on Sunday or Wednesday. But Jesus said, the water that I've got, it's going to be a source that's inside of you. It's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You can tap into that source whenever you need to, all day, all week, all your lifetime. Jesus said, I'm just going to tell you, the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. You don't have to go from week to week or conference to conference, but I'm going to put it in you. Jesus visited the Feast of the Tabernacles, that 7-day feast, and probably at the ceremony where they had the pouring of the water, but at some strategic time, John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried. He's sort of like the guy in Isaiah 55, hey, I know you're in a feast, I know it's been going on for hundreds of years, but hey, look over here, amen. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. At Atlanta West for over 25 years, we've been saying, let it flow. Don't squelch it. Don't make it just be a trickle in your life, but let the Holy Ghost flow in you and out of you. Jesus said it's going to be like rivers of living water, not a cistern, a source that you've got to continue to refill, but a source that continues to be supplied. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. John explains what Jesus was talking about in verse 39, parenthetically, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had to die, be buried, arise on the third day, ascend unto heaven, and send back his spirit on the day of Pentecost. That's where we get our name, Pentecost, because we celebrate every day what God did on that Jewish feast day. Amen. So I have a question. Why in the world are you wasting your life trying to satisfy your spiritual thirst on things that only leave you more empty and more miserable than before? You know, that's how sin is. It's got a sting to it. It's got remorse to it. It adds a lot of sorrow to your life. I just want to ask, you look really thirsty. You don't have what it takes to be saved? No problem. No money? No problem. This is the deal of a lifetime. And the offer that Jesus Christ is making you today is you don't need to bring anything to this transaction except yourself. So, boy, I'm in bad shape. I don't think I've got what it takes. That's the point. You don't need to. You don't need any money. You don't need any righteousness. You don't need any history in doing good things. All you need to do is recognize, hey, wow, I'm really thirsty. This is an offer I can't refuse. Sounds like the deal of a lifetime. This can't be purchased with money. It was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. For every sinner, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners just like you and just like me. Would you bow your heads right now? And would you pray with me for people who are dying of thirst for living water? Let's pray right now. Lord, I pray right now, God. For I know when you gave me this message that you had someone in mind. Maybe it's just someone watching online, but I don't think so, Lord. I think there's someone here who's dying of thirst, spiritually dehydrated. Empty, 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 empty. Trying to fill it up. Trying to satiate their thirst with all kinds of other things. Even good works, Lord. But also bad works. More and more empty. More and more depleted. But today, God, I pray. You got their attention. We've been praying for that, Lord. We've been praying that someone today would recognize their need of salvation. And they would come to the waters. Without money, they would buy. And they would drink to the full. And they would leave here changed forever. What a deal, God. What a deal of a lifetime. Listen.
But here.
Let's thank the Lord for impacting us with the gifts of tongues and interpretation to drive home what has been preached. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come and take of the waters of life freely.